Hey there. Today on the Big Abilities Podcast, I'm joined by the autism dad himself, Rob Gorski. Rob and I are going to be talking about what it's like to vacation when you have a child, or in his case, three children, with autism. We both, along with our families, were recent guests at the Hilton Doubletree at Orlando and had the opportunity to visit SeaWorld. Both the resort and the theme park recently received their Certified Autism Center accreditation. So we're going to break that down for you and what that exactly means and what you can expect if you go. We also talk a little bit about wandering or eloping, and if you have a child on the spectrum that's prone to this, how this can add an added layer of stress when you travel. Be sure you click on the show notes. I'm going to put up a slideshow with pictures of a lot of the things we talk about, along with links to Rob's information, as well as links to some of the products and podcast episodes that we talk about. So let's get started. Welcome to the Big Abilities Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Nielsen. At Big Abilities, we hope to give families the tools they need to help their children with autism, ADHD, and other developmental disabilities overcome their struggles while also focusing on their strengths. Thanks for joining me. Hey there. So Rob is the author and creator behind the Autism Dad blog and podcast. He is a single father to three amazing sons, 20-year-old Gavin, 13-year-old Elliot, and 11-year-old Emmett, all of which have autism spectrum disorder, in addition to other coexisting medical conditions. Rob's blogging journey began back in 2010 and currently contains thousands of pages and over 12,000 posts, many of which I've read. Rob uses his platform to share his family's real-life experiences, as well as to help educate others. Thank you so much for joining me, Rob. Is there anything more that you'd like to tell us about you, your family, or what you do?
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for having me. And I was actually really impressed because you sort of covered everything.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very thorough. I think I actually told you that I feel inadequate now because your note preparation is way better than mine.
So over planning is one of my default defense mechanisms for, you know, preventing as little failure as possible.
Nicely done.
I'd like to start, before we get into talking about vacationing with children with autism, I'd like to start by explaining how you and I connected, because I think it's a really cool story. When my son, who's now almost five, was first diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, I searched the internet high and low for people like you. And so you were one of the guys that I found and began to follow, and it really gave me hope. And then also,
thank you.
Recently, you and I both happened to be on the same podcast, not the same episode. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was at the Hilton Doubletree, and I'm interviewing Anna, the social media marketing manager. And she tells me, hey, Rob Gorski and his family was just here the weekend before.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, this guy and I apparently need to connect. So autism is a community, and it's really a small community, but it's a community. And so I appreciate you and what you do and connecting with me. And, you know, so we can just kind of continue to share our journey and hope with other people. So thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome.
So the first thing I want to talk about is vacationing when you have children with autism. What would you say some of the challenges or fears or struggles that your particular family faces if you decide to travel?
Well, to be honest with you, we just don't travel. You know, with my oldest, he has a lot of comorbid health issues that oftentimes present challenges. He's been really stable lately, but car rides in general were very destabilizing for him, and it was dangerous. So we just never really went anywhere. You know, part of the challenge was just how to navigate that, because the world isn't really designed to accommodate people with autism. If you could design sort of the perfect storm of things not to do for people with autism, I think our current society would probably be right up there. You know, depending on where you're going, you may have travel time. Like, I would never put my kids in a plane myself. Like, I wouldn't. It's scary because there's a lot of unknowns that make it, you know, scary.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned putting your child on a plane. My husband's from Vancouver, Canada. And so putting my child on a plane sometimes just has to happen. And I always feel like I'm going to be that family that gets escorted off the plane before the plane leaves the tarmac. You said you just haven't vacationed until recently. When was the last time prior to this weekend that you took your family on a vacation?
In 20 years, we have been on two vacations. This one just recently, and then October, November of 2017, when my oldest son Gavin had a wish granted, and we were sent to Orlando as part of his wish. We spent 10 days there. That's the only other vacation we've ever had. Before that, it was I was in high school, I think, and I went camping with friends from high school or something, and we'd become very isolated.
It's easy to happen.
It's very easy to happen, and people think that you know we're like antisocial or something like that, but it's really not. It's Mm-mm. like it's not that I don't want to have adult contact or adult conversations that have nothing to do with Legos or whatever thing that they're currently focused on. It's there's so many moving parts. Like it's, and I don't know about you, but like for me, like I have to think 10 steps ahead all the time in order to plan for the things that are unplannable, really.
Right.
And be able to anticipate and expect the unexpected and then deal with whatever might come up and then deal with the public's reaction to whatever might come up, which a lot of times makes it worse, right? Because, you know, if your kid's having a meltdown and people start making nasty comments, or it just sort of pours gasoline on the fire. And it's just sometimes it's easier. And then, like, I don't want to put my kids through something that I know that they just aren't equipped to handle. And so there's sacrifice involved and things like that. So it's not that we don't want to.
Right.
It's a challenge.
Well, and I often feel like my son, even though I enjoy taking him places, mm-hmm. he really doesn't ask to ever go anywhere. So, like, why put him through what you're saying, all of this struggle, when he would much rather be home watching Star Wars, playing with his R2-D2 figurine?
Yeah. And you get into this, like, no-win internal struggle where you start thinking, like, my gosh, like, am I depriving him of something because I'm not doing right. this, I'm not doing that? And then it becomes more about us than it is about them. You know, like, my youngest wants me to take him to Dave and Buster's because we just got one popped up here recently. And I'm like, you are out of your mind. Like, there is no way. I mean, like, we've done Chuck E. Cheese, and I hated doing Chuck E. Cheese. My kids are in a school for all kids with autism and ADHD. Mm-hmm. And Chuck E. Cheese is a popular place for his friends to have birthday parties. I sort of feel like I'm hesitant to, like, even participate. It's balance. Like, he goes, he has fun. It's not like he's not going to have fun while he's there. It's when he comes home and he's overstimulated and bouncing off the walls and ultimately melting down because he just can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the fallout. And I guess I always look at it as, if I'm in a place where I can deal with the fallout and this will be something that benefits them, then, you know, we go for it. We can always leave if we have to leave.
Right.
And I'm sort of beyond the point of caring what people think, I guess. So people can make nasty comments. They may catch me on a bad day. I don't even pay attention to it anymore because people, they just don't get it. And they're not going to. So, you know.
Yeah. Last year, we took my son, he just turned 18 and graduated high school. So he and his best friend, we took them to Mexico for their graduation and birthday. But we go and the flight overlapped his nap time. And we got there, so he hadn't had a nap. He began to melt down. The check-in of the resort took like 45 minutes. Then the room wasn't ready. Not one person said, hey, we have this quiet room you can take him to. It was horrible. I'm dealing with people that have no idea how to help me and really don't care to help me. It's like, I don't know if I want to do this again. And then that brings me to what you and I just experienced.
Yeah.
The magazine that I write for reached out to me because the resort had reached out to them to explain to them they just got their certified autism center accreditation. Well, I was really excited that the owner of the magazine asked me because I do all the special needs writing for this magazine as a freelancer. And so I was super excited because I've been thinking about this. The times that we've traveled, I've thought, there are things that would make my life easier. And if it would make my life easier, it would make other families' life easier.
Mm-hmm.
Super excited to go check this out. And then to see that you had been there prior to me. And you talked about, in the podcast episode that you did about this, that how impressed you were that you were greeted when you checked in by David, right? And that's who we were greeted by.
Yeah.
I felt like my family was welcome there, but that we were wanted there.
Yeah, well, we drove from Ohio. We were scheduled to be in there sometime. Well, it was supposed to be 5 o'clock, and then traffic in Florida was awful, and it was like 6 o'clock, and they were still ready for us, and they had little gift bags for the kids that had like cookies and bottled water and just little things that, you know, they've been in a car ride forever. It's just kind of a cool thing that made them feel special.
And the sensory toys they had in there, or the fidget toys.
We had sensory bags that they gave us to use while we were there. And the fidgets and stuff, I think they are like yours to take home. But like they also have noise canceling headphones that are available. So if you forgot them, or maybe you just don't have any, or whatever, you know, you can utilize their noise canceling headphones while you're there.
Yep. And you talked about in your podcast episode about those little stretchy rubber things.
Yep.
My son carried those around all weekend. As a matter of fact, I've had to wash them multiple times.
Yep.
I need to find those.
My son took them to school and decided to share them with his friends, and they have since been banned.
My son is a huge, huge Star Wars fan. It is a recent phenomenon. And when we got into the lobby, he had the Millennium Falcon in his lap and his stroller. And after David checked us in, Barkley was down low in his stroller, and he asked, "Can I come around and meet him?" And I said, "Sure."
Did he show you his phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
He sees that he has this Millennium Falcon. So to make a connection with him, he shows him his phone. I think it was Kylo Ren on his phone.
Yep. Yeah, Kylo Ren.
So do you have a Star Wars obsessed child?
My oldest, they bounce between sometimes. Yeah. My oldest especially is a Star Wars fan. He knows everything about Star Wars.
Yeah.
When I came down, and I think I said in the podcast, like I wasn't sure what to expect. Like I'm a single parent now, just sort of getting my footing on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really nervous about making a cross country trip with my kids. I thought that I was insane, really, for thinking that I could do that. And, you know, it was something that I think it was important for a number of reasons. My kids and I, they needed to sort of hit the reset button on life. And I wanted to be able to shine a light on somebody who's doing something positive for the community. And I never felt like they were like looking over our shoulder, or like we were not capable of doing things on our own, but they were there in the event that we needed something. And it was just nice. And David and Laura both have connections to the autism community on a personal level. And so, you know, they approach it from the perspective of like, what would I want my family to be treated like if they were visiting, you know, a hotel? Would I want them to be treated with respect and kindness and compassion? And, you know, my fear is a lot of people will think that this is just like a marketing thing, but these guys are genuine. They truly care. David had a conversation with my kids about a Sonic movie. It was after midnight in a parking lot. And it was just he stopped, made sure that we knew he was there and talked to us about the movie. I thought we were sort of going to be inconveniencing him because he was getting ready to go home or whatever, and it was late. But he stopped, and he was just super pleasant and engaging. And I mean, you could just tell, A, he loves his job, and B, he really cares. I think that was one of the biggest takeaways for me was that this is not just they legitimately want to make a difference.
Yep. It just makes everyone feel valued. And what you're saying about feeling that they were genuine, I felt the same way. I felt like they wanted to interact with my child. And when we would be in the kids' room, I'm not sure what that was called, the kids' center, I didn't get a chance to meet Laura that day.
Something Cove.
Yeah, one of her employees, Jenna, was in there. She was fantastic interacting with my son. And I just, like you, I didn't feel like anyone was looking over my shoulder, but I knew they were there. And I also felt safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the biggest issues that I struggle with, is feeling like my child is safe. And this really hit home to me when I heard a recent episode of yours with Sidra Collins.
Yep.
And it's something I've been thinking about for a while. And I mean, I don't go anywhere without my child tethered to me. And I get stares. I didn't feel like I got stares at the DoubleTree because people expect there to be children like my son there. But everywhere we are, if he is not in his stroller, he is tethered to me. He is a runner. He is an eloper. And more so than that, he is a hider.
Ooh.
He would go hide somewhere and he would never come out because he thinks it's a game.
That's scary.
It is terrifying. As a matter of fact, after I listened to that episode, and I'm going to link that in the show notes, I went on to that 911 site and registered him there immediately. Mm-hmm. I haven't contacted Angel since. That's the next thing on my list of things to do. And today I spoke with one of my local police officers about what programs we have in place in our county to handle wandering and eloping of children with autism. Thank you for doing that episode.
Oh, yeah.
That really opened my eyes up. I knew it was a problem, but when I was at the DoubleTree, in a lot of the resorts we've stayed at, they've made the locks much lower on the doors to make them wheelchair accessible, which then makes them my five-year-old child accessible.
Yeah.
They put us on a ground floor, which I appreciated because balconies are also a very big concern of mine. My son would jump off a balcony and think nothing of it. But the locks were up high, and that made me feel safe that they were up higher, which, you know, for your kids, they're older, they could still reach.
They would reach it anyways, yeah.
Because when you're the parent of a child that's a wanderer, and you said this, you are always in a state of high alert. Even when my son is tethered to me, I'm in a state of high alert because what if that tether breaks and he's gone? And I've gone through a couple because none of them are Barkley proof. And at the DoubleTree, the whole place is enclosed.
Yeah, it's like a tropical forest sort of inside the buildings all surround it. And it would not be easy to just run out into the parking lot or something like that. I mean, it's very well put together.
It really is. And it does the job of what they're hoping it to do. But I was even thinking as I was listening to your episode about Angel Sense, let's say, for example, even at a place like that, my son escaped. Maybe he couldn't get out of the perimeter of that facility, but he could hide somewhere and we couldn't find him. So I thank you for sharing that information. That's really, really, really important. And keeping our children safe is something that when we get out of our comfort zone, it is even more of a concern. And so that's an issue with travel as well, is just feeling like your child is going to be safe.
I'm sorry, you're in Florida, right?
I'm in Orlando.
Oh, you're in Orlando. You should look into, are you familiar with Project Lifesaver?
I am not.
They are sort of the gold standard for GPS tracking. They're certified with law enforcement and stuff like that. I was just having a conversation with somebody about this, and there's three main ones that I look at. GeoBit is one, AngelSense, and Project Lifesaver. It all depends on what your child needs. They're all fantastic.
Okay.
And Project Lifesaver is local to you. It's run by Chief Saunders. They're recognized internationally for what they do. But they use different technology than AngelSense, and they use different than GeoBit. And it just depends on your situation and what you need. So I just wanted to throw that out there to you.
Sure, thanks. Well, I'll link all of those in the show notes so anyone listening, regardless of where they are, can look them up. And especially yep. That episode, everyone needs to hear that. It was informative. It was scary, but we have to protect our kids. One other thing I really liked about the Hilton DoubleTree was their accessibility guide. And yep. I have it in front of me right now. And so, yeah, it's Hideaway Cove was the children's club. They talk all about the services they have, the green areas. And we were out there. My son ran around and burned up some energy, and I loved those spaces. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned something in your podcast about the food. Now, my son will not eat food anywhere outside of what I prepare. And it's a big struggle for us, so I don't even try anymore. I've just kind of given that up for now.
Yeah,
I would be thrilled to death if he'd eat a chicken nugget or a French fry, but it's just not going to happen. But you said that when they delivered food to your kids, everything was separated.
Yeah, and I don't know that... And like I told them, I don't know if that was by design or if it was, I mean, it was aesthetically pleasing the way that they had it set up. It looked really nice.
Yeah.
But I wanted them to know that even something that simple made a big difference, you know, because like my kids don't like food. Well, some of my kids don't like food touching, and they get separate plates or whatever. And sometimes I don't remember, and they don't remember until after it's happened. And then they get really upset. And so I just wanted to point that out because I just thought it was such a cool thing because I remember my youngest looked at it and he just thought it was so cool because the French fries came in this special container that sat on the same plate, but they were separated. And it looked really nice and they really appreciated not having things touching. So I just thought that was really cool.
So what would you say, did you appreciate or were you the most impressed with?
What really impressed me, I don't know if there was one thing that really stuck out. Aside from them really being genuine, like I truly feel like they were genuine. They're one of the first hotels in the country to go through this program. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing it when really no one else is. And for me, like as a parent, somebody who can't doesn't get these opportunities to do this kind of stuff very often. I really appreciated the fact that they just cared enough to do it in the first place. And they're constantly evolving. So, mm-hmm. you know, they have basic things that they had set up back in September, and then they build off of that as they learn more and they experience more. And I think, so it would have been February, January, I guess, they went to a conference where they learned even more that they were able to bring back to the hotel and apply it to their accommodations. And so it just, yeah. they're making a genuine effort when many other people aren't. And I guess yep. I just really appreciated that. And it's not fake. It's not, I guess I envision these people just, they're just really genuine. And like, I think it's important that people recognize that.
Yep. I appreciated that too. But what really made a difference to me, because you're at the point now where you don't care what people think. I'm trying to get there. My anxiety level rises rapidly when I feel like my child is negatively impacting others. And I know I need to get past mm-hmm. that. But I appreciated knowing that there's signs everywhere that says this is a certified autism center.
Yep.
So anybody that steps foot on that property knows that they're going to see a child like mine. And if that offends you, then don't come. And if my child was tethered to me all over the place, no one's going to look at me like I have three heads or that I'm a, you know, a incompetent parent.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And when I say I don't care, I mean, I spent a lot of time trying to get mm-hmm. my kids to just settle down. Like, they're autistic and there are things that are outside of their control, but there's a lot that is within their control and it's a choice. And so I'm trying to get them to, it would be nice if the world would adapt to them, right. but the reality is that's never going to happen. And so I want my kids to be prepared for the world. And so there are certain standards that society just expects, whether it's fair or not. And my kids are they do really well, and I'm very grateful for that. And it's been a long journey to get there, but I'm the same as you. I worry sometimes, like, you know, people are here on a vacation, and do they want to hear you screaming about right. you know, Legos or something? I mean, I understand where you're coming from, and it's nice to know that there's sort of an understanding that you right. might come across kids that have challenges, and that's what it is. And there's always going to be people who are jerks. But I don't think even the staff throughout, like we ate, I don't remember. We ate lunch, breakfast and dinner at the Laguna Lounge. And I cannot, Jordan, I think is his name, was the manager at the restaurant. And, you know, he came out and he was making sure everything was okay. I mean, it was just nice. I didn't feel like we were inconveniencing anybody or that we were being judged. And, you know, and the people that were there vacationing, I didn't have an issue with anybody. I mean, I felt like it was a pleasant experience.
Yeah, it was. And the other nice thing, and we talked about this, or you talked about this on your podcast as well, was the fact that SeaWorld is within walking mm-hmm. distance. So let's talk a little bit about those experiences sure. that you had at SeaWorld, and if you experienced any accommodations of their certified autism accreditation.
Well, when we went, we were in SeaWorld 2 back in 2017, and this has all changed since then. So it was sort of a new thing. My kids are very impatient at times.
So is mine.
Felt like forever just to print out the tickets and get where we had to go. And I guess the one thing that I noticed that really stuck out to me was they have sensory signs, and they have, and I actually meant to share that picture and I forgot. They have an autism, like a quiet room with a big puzzle logo. I didn't go in there. No. Did you?
We did. We spent a lot of time in Sesame Street Land. My son's only 5. So that was a big draw for us. And he got overstimulated and he was really dysregulated. And so I told my husband, I want to try this sensory room. And he was going to go run and grab something to eat. And so I said, I'm going to take Barkley in here while you go do that. So we went in, the lights were off. No one was in there. It was pretty small. And it had like a little tube for him to crawl into, two soft, not really beanbag, but similar to beanbags. There were some things on the wall, like beads and mm-hmm. things. And I bought him an Elmo bubble wand. So we're in there with the lights off. It's really small and calming. He's got the bubbles going. We were in there for about 15 minutes. And he even laid down on one of the bags. And it 100% impacted our ability to finish out the rest of the day. So kudos to SeaWorld for that. And there's two or three of those quiet rooms throughout. And I took a video of him. I said, Barkley, where are you? And he goes, I'm in the quiet room. And he was real quiet. And it was a really welcome place for me to be able to take mm-hmm. him to help him to calm down so we could then finish the rest of the day and have a good time.
Nice. Yeah, and I actually saw that. I think I saw it on our way out, because like my kids are sort of outgrown a lot of that stuff. Like we can sort of work through a lot of that now. I think every kid has a threshold, and like they can cope with only so much before they reach that point of no return. And as my kids have gotten older, that threshold has increased.
Yeah, and you probably know the signs. You can begin to see it happen, and then get the heck out of Dodge before it full blown.
Yeah, so that's, you know, you learn to sort of read the signs before it gets to a point where you can't help but know, because it's in your face. And I don't even do it like consciously. It's just sort of an automatic thing. And I'd be like, okay, guys, why don't we start heading back? And you just learn to read the situation, and it just becomes second nature. But yeah. No, I did not. I saw it, but I didn't have a chance to peek in there.
So you use the ride accessibility program?
Yeah, we had that, except there was debates about who wanted to ride what. And
there were debates?
Yeah, right. So like I have one who doesn't like heights, and one who's concerned that his health is going to be impacted by the rides, which it could. And then the other one who has no fear of anything. And I'm somewhere in the middle. And even if, you know, we found like he wanted to do the roller coaster, and I was like, there's just no way. And you know, and the problem was that like, even if I had been okay doing that, it would have been him and I on that roller coaster, and I would have had to leave my other two kids by themselves. I'm not comfortable doing that. Not that I don't trust them, but I don't trust the people that I don't know.
And that would be a hard thing by yourself with three kids. Yeah. Well, we did use the Ride Accessibility Program, and what that is, for people that aren't aware, is it is a virtual placeholder in a line. So if you go to a ride that, I think that it was, if it's an over 20 minute wait, they give you a virtual spot in line, and then you can leave and then come back and get right on. And so we used that for a couple of attractions, and it made it just really great, because we absolutely cannot do lines.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 minutes in one spot is often too long. We definitely appreciated that. So why do you think that it is important for families of children with autism to be able to take a vacation? Because we talked a little bit about this. Up until now, it's been challenging for you. It's been challenging for me, but yet we know this is important.
I didn't realize how important it was until we were sent to Florida for my son's wish trip. And at the time, my wife was still here. And so it was all of us. We drove down. And I guess you don't realize what you're missing until you experience it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, autism parents or special needs parents, it's 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, 366 days a year.
Yep.
Even when my kids go to somebody else's house, like my parents, or if they go to visit their mom or something, I should be relaxing. But like, I know that there's still a million things that could go wrong. And so When you go to a place, like we spend our time at Give Kids the World, which is, if you've never been there, it's in Kissimmee, I think, right? It's fantastic. We could just sort of exhale and you recharge. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think normal gets a bad rap a lot of times. Everybody needs to feel normal to some extent.
Yep.
And normal is different for everybody. So we're not talking about behavioral, whatever. But like being able to take your kids to a movie, or being able to take your kids out to eat, or do things as a family like you see other families do, or you see on, everybody else seems to have the perfect life on Facebook. And being able to normalize your life in any way is typically a positive thing. And, you know, after this experience with the DoubleTree, we've decided we're going to make that our yearly guys trip, you know, because we're sort of struggling with everything that's gone on in our lives recently. And we're all dealing with a lot, and not everybody's dealing with it in a way that is helpful, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we just needed to, this was a reminder for us that we're all family, that we're all in this together, that, you know, that they're brothers, and no matter what happens in life, they always have each other. And so it was just a very positive, it was a renewing, sort of sparking some healing for us kind of trip. And I think it's important that families have that opportunity to do that. And until DoubleTree was doing this, I knew there was stuff at airports, because I've dealt with stuff with airports and stuff before, but not like this. And this was really, it gives me hope that we're moving in the right direction.
Well, and how brave of you to take that 20-hour road trip, that when you got there, it was going to be worth it. And I'm so glad that it was for you. When you're coming back to Orlando next year, let us know, and maybe we can meet up together at the DoubleTree as families.
Absolutely.
Well, we do a lot of staycations, and luckily we're in Orlando, and you know, we have these opportunities in our backyard. I feel very, very fortunate. And again, I know now where I can stay and feel a little bit more comfortable that our family is welcome and that the people around us understand our challenges, because the world belongs to everyone. It belongs to our kids too, and it belongs to us. And it's so easy for parents of children impacted by disabilities of any type to feel isolated, to suffer from depression. And when we see our friends on Facebook posting about all these things they're doing, you know, even though we know that they still have their challenges, everyone does, it still makes you sometimes feel like, what's wrong with my family? Why can't we go do these things? And so it is a reminder that there are people out there that want to help our families. And that made me feel so special. So where can people find you if they want to follow you or learn more about you?
You can always find me at theautismdad.com. I have all my social links are at the top. Like, I'm on every platform, but I don't pay attention to anything but Twitter. So people try to hit me up on Facebook. I never see it.
Okay.
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's just at theautismdad, all one word. Podcast, you can just go to, well, you can look up The Autism Dad on any one of the, whatever your app is that you use. Or you can just go to theautismdad.com/listen. Everything's really easy to find when you're there. So it's all sort of self-contained, and you can, you know, find whatever it is that you want. I'll be posting a review sooner than later for AngelSense. There's links for all that stuff in there for right now. So I always try to answer people who reach out, and I'm very accessible. Talk to anybody, you know.
You have a passion for what you're doing. And as a parent, I appreciate that, because you've been a role model for me and kind of been one of those people that's encouraged me to do the same thing, because I feel kind of a connection, because the more I learn, and when you're an autism parent, you're learning every day. The more I learn, the more I feel that I just have to share these things, because there are people that don't know how to find out the information that you know how to find out. And you've been on this journey for so much longer than a parent like me. So I can kind of learn what's coming next. What are things I need to be thinking about in the future so I can begin to prepare for those? So thank you so much for joining me. I cannot wait to see you in Orlando next year.
That's the plan.
Thanks everyone for listening to this episode. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you for listening today to the Big Abilities Podcast. I hope you learned something, and remember, you got this.